Well, good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful time to be together and to just praise our God. And when I was asked if I would speak today, I thought, uh-oh. But God had told me that I was to accept what people put before me, to examine it and to see if it's His will. And I just know, because of prophetic words that I've had, especially over last year, that if I was asked to speak, I was to speak. And then He gave me this word, "But as for me, I will always proclaim what God has done. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." So here I am, and it's quite interesting that we've had so much about fear this morning. Stephanie brought it up, we've had it in our singing. And guess what I'm speaking about? Walk with God, don't let fear be your companion. So many people have fear. They have little fears, they have big fears. They have fear that holds them down. They have fear that's a cage that they need to be let loose from. To go out into the community, to go and bless people, to loose your mouth to say the blessings of God and encourage people. God is faithful in every season of your life. No matter what is happening in your life, God is faithful in that season. He sees you quite differently to how you see yourself and how you perceive that other people see you. And we can fear something that's not even there. It's like the boogeyman under the bed. There's nothing there. Don't worry. God is with you. He is with you in every circumstance. He sees you as beautiful. He sees you as precious. You are so close to Him. Even though you mightn't feel it, mightn't perceive that. But where is God? The scriptures say God is everywhere. So where's that? That's inside you. That is in the air. How close is the air to you? Uh-oh, right there. God is there. He is so close to you, and He wants you to know that you're so precious to Him. In one of the songs that we had this morning, it was about being in His arms, and when you're in His arms, you feel His heartbeat. In fact, your heart beats with His heart as He holds you, and He wants you to know that you're not alone. He's always with you. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In certain times in our lives, we don't feel like that, though, do we? We have the wonderful scriptures. And in the scriptures, there is so much about fear. When the angel came to Mary to tell her that as a young girl, unmarried, she was going to have a baby, the angel said, "Fear not." And look what the outcome was. When the disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw Jesus absolutely transformed, and Moses and Elijah came, and Jesus said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid because of this awesome thing that they'd seen." What about Peter when he stepped out of the boat? Must have been a bit of fear going on there. And so when we have the scriptures, we read about other circumstances through people's lives where there's been fear, but there's been a good outcome. And for you and for me, and through different times in my life, I have just hung on to what I read in the scriptures, which became the word of God to me. There's a difference between reading the scriptures and receiving the word of God. It becomes a living rhema word to you. And that's what holds you in the storms of life. That's what delivers you from your fears. And so we, if you're like me, you have scriptures that are your go-to scriptures. And we all have those, I think, that something that has just spoken to us and we hold on to it, and that's what holds us in life. And when the hard times come, and they do come, we're never promised that life is going to be easy and sweet and smooth. We're told that He will be with you through the storms. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He's as close as the air you breathe. And He is in you. He is over you. He is under you. He holds you in His hand. He covers you with His hand. You're so close. He covers you with His feathers. And we rest in Him because He is always with us. And that's how we get through. One of my go-to scriptures, and I know it's one that is for a lot of people, Psalm 91. Sometimes I just think back to one time in my life when I just really couldn't even pray. And I was in a place where I was quite bewildered. So I would just say the 23rd Psalm over and over. That was my go-to scripture, and that's where I got comfort. So sometimes we just need to do that. We don't have to always think we've got it together. But He is there with His word and He holds you. And I know with Psalm 91, it's another one that a lot of people hold on to. And I think quite often I've noticed as people get older, they go more and more to Psalm 91. So if in there you're one of those people, I think you're getting more mature. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So there you are. You're living in the shelter. You are in a shelter of the Most High God. And you will find rest there. You're not dashing around being anxious and active, because you're resting in the shadow of the Almighty. You don't always have to be doing. You don't always have to be saying. There are times when you can just be still and know that He is God. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. And we know that scripture about the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, with the helmet of salvation, with the shield of faith, and with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray at all times. And so His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Take the word of God as your armor. Don't be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Now we've got a couple of ifs. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. And don't underestimate the angels. There are millions of angels, and we read that in Revelation. There are millions of angels, and they're God's servants, and they are sent out to those who are being saved. So he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So now I'm just going to tell you about one or two instances in my life where I've had to call upon the Lord because I've been fearful. We don't deny that there is fear. It does come. We do have anxiety. We can say, oh, I was a little bit anxious, rather than saying I was totally fearful. I was just witless with it. So we have, I was thinking there about the salvation, and that came to mind when I was, would have been about 17, I think, and I was at Teachers College in Palmerston North, and I went to an evening service at the Central Baptist Church in the middle of town. I had been brought up through the Anglican Church, and I had gone to church a lot. I loved going to church, and I'd been confirmed and that, but I had never heard about asking Jesus to come into your life. I'd never heard about that in that context. It was just, I didn't have ever make a stand for Jesus. And so I went to church this night. I happened to be in Palmerston on a Sunday night. I usually travel back at night, but I happened. So I went with the people that I was boarding with. And the minister preached a message on salvation. And the scripture that he had was, fear not, because you have more value than the sparrows. But the next bit really got me. The next bit says, everyone who acknowledges me before man, I will also acknowledge before my Father. But whoever denies me before man, I will also deny before my Father. And I thought, I don't think I've ever actually stood up and acknowledged God before people. And then he gave the opportunity to anybody who wanted to do that to come up to the front of the church. And I was so convicted and convinced that this was just, you know, like a message from heaven. I thought, I've got to get up there. I've got to get out of my seat fast and get up there before the stampede of everybody else going up. So in this big church, I was along the rows, climbing over people, getting out there and up the front, and I was the only one. But I was so glad I'd done it. I really was. And that led me to being water baptized. I'd been sprinkled before, but I was, then went on to acknowledge him through baptism. And that reminds me of another time I had a fear on me, and it was brought into it about baptism. We were going up to Auckland for two of our granddaughters were going to be baptised in Auckland, and it was going to be such a happy occasion. And then we got a phone call, which was the enemy's work totally, because, you know, we say you get a phone call and it's bad news. This was evil tidings. And I really believe that the enemy wanted to rob us on that day. And so I just thought, oh, Lord, why today? And I had this awful knot in my stomach because of it. I had a heaviness on me. And we were setting off to go to the baptism. And I thought, oh, Lord, just take it away from me, please, so that we can enjoy this wonderful occasion. Well, we went into the church and the service started, and I still had this knot. I don't know if other people get knots in their stomachs, but I had a knot in my stomach because of this. And then the pastor looked into the congregation and said, Lauren and Robin, I want you to come down. I want to pray for you. So down we went. And he put us out, and there may have been one or two others he'd called out. I don't know, but he put out his hand to pray for me, and I went clonk down on the floor. The power of God just came on me. And the funny thing was that the man who was, the young fellow who was meant to catch me, missed me. And I sort of went sideways onto the floor. Well, it struck me as so funny. I just rolled around on the floor laughing. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. And then I eventually got up to go back to my seat, and I was heading back, and I think it was Nikki and Debbie were there, and they said, he missed you. And I said, I know. And I was laughing. And then the pastor said, Robin, God hasn't finished with you yet. Come here. So I went again, and he put out his hand, and I looked down again, and he missed again. Wow, you know what that did to me? Gosh, I just rolled around the floor laughing. And at the end, the knot was gone. Oh, I was so... It just lifted totally off me now. Isn't God good? And Hannah, as I'm, you know, praying in the car going up, Lord, please take this off me. I never dreamt I'd be on the floor, legless, rolling around. And then we were able to enjoy seeing our two lovely granddaughters being baptized. So isn't God good? And so he delivered me from the bad tidings that we had received. And that all got sorted anyway later. And but that was the enemy trying to rob me on a special day. And so God is good. He's always there for us. He is Richard, isn't he? Yes, hallelujah. Well, another time when I was feeling a bit fearful, this was just a little one. The family had all gone up for a walk up in the Hakara Martyrs, and we were going across. We came to a dam. There's a dam up there. It was before they had the steps up there. And we came to this dam, and the kids just... across the top of the dam over to the other side, and I got there and I see this drop down, and I couldn't do it. And I thought, oh, I can't get across to the other side. And the kids on the other side, come on mum, you can do it. And so I got down on my hands and knees and I crawled across the top of this. It's not that big, the dam, but I crawled across there and got to the other side. But when I thought about that, when I thought God was good, he gives us other people to encourage us and cheer us on. If things are not good for you and then you're having trouble facing it, get alongside someone or get somebody to come alongside you and they can cheer you on. They say, come on, you can do it. You don't need to be fearful, and God is with you. In times of sickness, sometimes we can be fearful. We can fear a bad report, but God is with you in that as well, in all the circumstances of your life. One of our children was very sick with asthma, and we prayed, we cast out, we we did everything. We fasted, you know, everything that you do, and we pleaded with God. And at times we were really, really worried because we feared for his life. And So what do we do? Finally, we called the elders. Usually, I suppose, people do that first, but we didn't. We did all the rest first, and then we called the elders and asked them if they would anoint him with oil. And they came on a Sunday afternoon, but when they arrived, visitors arrived at the same time. So Laurie went with the elders and went to pray, and I went and looked after the visitors. But I excused myself and went into the hallway of the house. Excuse me. And I picked up a Bible that was sitting on the bookshelf there, and I opened it up, and it said, the words I looked at, Psalm 92, I have been anointed with fresh oil. I will see the defeat of my enemies. He will grow like the cedars of Lebanon, and even into old age he will bear fruit. And that just has amazed me, that so often in life I can open the Word of God, and there, right on the page, is a specific word. And so that took from me the fear around sickness for him. And we just hung on to that word, and we just claimed that we didn't see immediate miraculous healing, but he never had a really bad attack again. You know, as I'm just telling you these instances, I do it to encourage you, but it comes back to the beginning of Psalm 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And so as we dwell in his presence, we are in his word, we are in prayer. This is a day, it's a lifestyle thing, it's your life. You read the word, you pray, you meditate on his word, you sit and rest in him. You sing songs, you cast out evil thoughts, and you speak well. You speak positive words. And this is why when the hard things that might bring fear come upon you, you can manage them. You can do it because God is with you, and he gives you specific words to hold on to. Another occasion where I was quite fearful, we had been to an Easter camp, and we were camp parents. Laurie and I were camp parents at this camp. That there were youth from Wanganui and New Plymouth came to this camp at the Waverley Racecourse. But we had one girl there who was very disruptive. She would not comply at all, and she just made things terrible for the camp, and nothing was happening in terms of any blessing, it seemed, in the camp. So we had to make the decision to take her home, and so we did that. Then we went back to the camp, and then it was a very joyful time, and it was wonderful, and things started to happen. Kids were blessed and saved. When we got home, I don't know why we were so late getting home from a camp, but it was dark when we got home. We pulled up in the car, and Laurie said, there's somebody in the doorway of our house. So he got out, and it was this girl, and she had something behind her back. We didn't know what was going on, and it was dark, so we couldn't see. We went inside, and I just forget all the details. It's a fair while ago now. But she had come to get us. And Laurie told me afterwards that he kept a chair between him and her the whole time. We didn't know what was up. But she was a bit of a mess, this girl. She didn't belong to our youth group. She'd come from another church, from someone else. She was a ring-in. And again, I believe it was the enemy sowing into what was going to be a blessing and wanting to disrupt it, and we were dealing with it. But then this girl was there, and so we were trying to get our kids were little and get them into the house. And then the parents arrived with the police, and they wanted us to lay charges on her, and we said, no, we're not going to do that. She was just a disturbed young girl, no reason to get the police. But then there was the problem, what happened to the girl now? So we ended up having her, she stayed the night, as you do. I ran her a hot bath and got her to bed, but she went off the next morning to do something. We said she could come back again the next night if she needed somewhere to stay. Well, that day I just missed out the bit that I wanted to especially tell you, and that was that, again, I went and opened my Bible, when she was there, and the word that came was from Luke 21:19, by your endurance you will gain your lives. And so the next day she went off, but during the day we had some interesting phone calls, one purportedly from a funeral director asking what Laurie's measurements were for the coffin, and you know, they were quite threatening really. So she came back the next day, but we also got in, some of the bigger boys from the youth group came and stayed the night because we had little kids, and we had the angels as well. We had the angels there. But the Lord had given us that word, by your endurance you will save your lives. So we just hung in there, and the next day she took an overdose of Dispirin or something. She swallowed a packet of pills and Laurie had to take her off to the hospital. And that was the end that we saw of her. We didn't see her anymore. But again, the word of God held us. And it was a time of being fearful initially, but trusting in God that he would see us through. I tell you these stories to encourage you, because we need to know that in all the circumstances of life, there are going to be issues that come up, but we hold on to God and we live in the shelter of the Most High. I just want to tell you about, and down here he says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And we have experienced that. And in a particular time when we experienced that was when we travelled to France. And we were with a group of people, but we left the group when we were up in the north of France, and we were travelling, Laurie and I travelled down to Paris. And I had said, Lord, you'll have to give us angels. On our journey, we're in a country where not everybody else speak English, you know, and we don't know where we're going. But I can tell you that it was amazing. There were angels everywhere. We left, just a little, not to do with the angels, but up in the north of France, we went into this little hotel to stay, and it was old. It was hundreds of years old in the middle of town. And we walked along these long corridors and up little stairs and big thick velvet curtains and up some more stairs. And I said to Laurie, what if there's a fire? And he said, why would there be a fire after hundreds of years? The voice of reason. So sometimes when there's anxiety in us, we need the voice of reason. We finally got to our room, and it was had in there the biggest bed I've ever seen. You know the song, there were 10 in a bed, and the little one said, it was that bed. But when we left, to come back down to Paris, we went to a train station. It was a huge station. We didn't know where to go up there, and I said to a man, can you show us where we get on to the train to Paris? He said, I'll have to take you. So he led us all the way through to where we got there. We got to Paris, got off the train, we thought, which way do we go to get the train to get over to where we need to go in Paris? A person came up to us and said, can I help you? And we said, yes, we need to know where we're going. I'll go and buy the ticket for you, and come with me, we'll get the tickets, I'll show you which barrier to go through. So we were on the train to the other side of Paris. We came up out of the underground, standing there with our map. Where do we go? Oh, yes, we've worked it out. We go that way. And the person behind says, excuse me, can I help you? Yes, we're going. Oh, no, it's all right. We're fine. We're going this way. You need to go that way. And I believe they were God's angels. You know, just This particular one, he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And then in the train station, the man tapped me on the shoulder and he said, don't put your purse in your backpack. And, you know, just a thing like that, to keep your purse at the front of you, or someone will zip it open and whip it off. So we had these big backpacks on. So he was protecting us wherever we go. So do not fear. He will protect you wherever you go. Many times I've been in the sea and got caught in a rip or something, and I've thought, ah, Laurie says, just float and go with it. Not me. I can't float and go with it. And one particular instance was when we were at Matatar. We had we didn't know that Matatar wasn't a swimming beach, but it had a motor camp there, and we went to have a break from the youth group. But then the youth group decided, one after the other, they said, can I come, can I come, can I? So we had a group of us went with these kids as well. And we went out for a swim, and I got out in the sea, and I couldn't get back in. I don't know where they were. It's probably riding logs, Stevie. And so we were all having a great time, but I couldn't get in. And I thought, oh, Lord, you help me get in out of the sea. And suddenly I went whoosh, and I was up on the beach. And I went back to the caravan again. I opened up the Word of God, and it said, he rescued me out of many waters. it just blows me away that it's so specific. You know, God, how does he do that? I just don't know how he does that, that you can just open it and there you get the word that you need to help you at that time. Well, I just want to finish up with saying that we need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He's a good, good God. And he says in this, the end of Psalm 91, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honour them. I will reward them with long life. And he keeps his promises. I've claimed that promise in regard to the children, honour your parents, and you will live long in the land. You know, when I was in a dangerous situation, I was saying, Lord, you've promised me. You said, Lord, you'd give me a long life. Don't let me be wiped out on this occasion. And here I am to tell the tale. Still here. So remember to live in the shelter of the Most High, and you will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Don't let fear be your companion. Walk with God. He's faithful in every season. We make our plans, but he orders the next step. To finish off with, there was another one about somebody who was a parable that Jesus told about somebody who was afraid. There's a parable about three servants, and the first two servants, the master came and he gave the servants five talents to do something with while he's away, and then he gave another one 2 talents, and then a final one 1 talent. And he returned, and the first one he had doubled the money, he'd used his talents, and the second one had done likewise, and they were commended, and the master said, let's celebrate. And then the last one, what had he done? He said, I was afraid. So he didn't do anything with what the master had given him. So I'm just wondering if there's somebody today, perhaps, that the Lord's been saying to you that you're to do something and you're saying, I'm afraid. Are you afraid because you don't want to step out? As with Carol talking about going out and doing witnessing, are you afraid to do it? What are you afraid of? It's worse for those that didn't hear because you were afraid. What are you denying other people if you're afraid? So step out and be bold. Do what God has called you to do. You might be afraid of something else that you need to do that the Lord's placed on your heart. If you've got any fears or the Lord has challenged you at all today about anything and you want to come up here, there are people on the ministry team who can pray with you about those things. Come and put it right. If you don't know about your salvation, if you are not sure, like on that day, I needed to make my stand before other people that Jesus was my Saviour, that I'd asked him into my life. If you're not sure about that, and I know now, I went up there and I did it, and I know. So we can have that assurance. I invite you to come forward, and we're going to sing again, very appropriately, "I am no longer a slave to fear." And so we'll stand and sing that. And you come if you would like to have some prayer. Your past doesn't need to determine your future. So go and take the love and the promises of God out into this week. Be his hands and his feet. Hold on to the promises of God. Encourage others. Recognize if fear is trying to step into your life and say, "Be gone in Jesus' name." We have authority in Jesus' name to say, "Go." And so don't fear. Don't fear failure, embarrassment, danger. Don't fear being found out. Don't fear the unknown. Don't fear sickness or a diagnosis of sickness. Don't fear lack of provision, loss of employment, being alone, loneliness. Don't fear the opinion of others. Don't fear death, because we have a risen Saviour. He has Amen. Broken the power of death and hell.
Amen.
So trust in God. Be honest, be courageous. Face the facts and walk in truth. Know God and know who you are in Him. And maybe you need to change the way you think. The way you think about God and the way you think about yourself. He loves you, He holds you in His arms, and He carries you through every part of your life. So go and be blessed in Jesus' name.